Justin Kaufman here, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Ted McClellan is here, our resident linguist. We've got to have a resident linguist. It's the Chicago Accent Challenge, which is pretty simple. It's all in the words. If you got a great Chicago accent and you think everybody says you got the best one on the block, you call in. We test you with a couple great questions.
I wouldn't know nothing about that.
Exactly. And you could win a prize. That's how it works. Ed, you're already in the game. I think guests from the 9 o'clock hour cannot participate in the 10 o'clock.
It's too bad.
All right, let's talk about Rod Blagojevich, superstar. I feel like the only reasonable thing to do for Chicagoans, especially those with talk shows, when you're talking about Rod Blagojevich, is to talk about the jokes that can come out of it. Because any other conversation is... It's just, no, can't do it. So what a great opportunity to have Rod Blagojevich, superstar, the guys who created this show, which was a huge hit when Blagojevich was on trial. T.J. Shanoff and Ed Furman are longtime Chicago comedians and writers and directors and producers and musicians, and they're in studio. And both have been on the program before. Great to have you guys, man.
Great to be
good
back.
To see you.
Great being here, Justin. Thank you.
Yeah, so this is a special performance for a fundraiser. It's a one-off on April 2nd that you guys are raising money both for the Second City Alumni Fund and Gildas Club.
Yes.
Talk about why do you bring this back?
I think just the circumstances. We were all kind of stunned that he was he was released, and it just seemed like such a natural thing to do.
Yeah, it's funny because I know Eddie has said that, like, when he was released, it hit him right away. It didn't hit me. I got a call from Beth. I don't hear from Beth Kligerman, the esteemed longtime Second City producer, very often anymore. I get a call, and I go, she's going to have – I said to my wife, I said, it's going to be what we call a patch go. She's got an emergency where I got to play piano for $80.
It's either that or I'm being fired again, and right, I don't know what
right,
I did.
Right. I've been there. It's 20
they text
the
for that
year.
Now. They don't call you.
It's an automated text, too. It wasn't even on my mind because as successful as the show was, the Blagojevich commutation was so strange that my first thought is, this is so weird that to even think of resurrecting the show didn't even seem within the realm of possibility that day when the news broke. Partially because the age of the show is, 2010 or right
here? Yeah, it's 10 years old now.
And partially because everything's just so crazy now, that was the farthest thing from my mind. So when I knew what it was going to be, it was very exciting.
But everything was so crazy around... the original,
right?
The original trial and impeachment and everything, and even his press conference when he's first released, he's bleeding because he cut a
he's bleeding.
Ronnie Woo Woo was there apparently, so it's like, all right, yeah, it's just a, you know, it's another act of the circus.
Uh-huh. Well, going back to 2010, that was what was great about the show too, because he came to the show at one point.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah, he did.
There was a whole fever around the show at the time because it was. You know, he's making fun of what was actually happening at the moment. It wasn't a throwback or let's talk about what the election was a year ago. I mean, he was on trial while you guys were doing this show.
Yeah, we were reacting to it almost not quite in real time, but once a week, like, all right, do we got to change anything in the show? Is there something we have to put in?
That whole night's one of the most surreal nights in my career, and there are a series of pictures of Eddie, Blago, and I discussing bits and disgusting jokes that I look at our eyes like they were glazed. We just looked like we were in a different world.
Yeah, I kind of thought we'd be taken out at that point.
What was the premise, for people who didn't see it, and most of Chicago did see it, what was the premise of Rod Blagojevich, superstar?
It was very kind of factual. It followed it. It was a bit campy, but it was Rod's kind of savior complex, or
so it's kind of a parody of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Christ Superstar, Little Godspell were kind of the two big inspirations for it, and those are kind of we call the songs pastiche parodies. You copy the song note for note,
right.
Pastiche is, I was very influenced by the Ruddles. We just lost, you know, Neil Innes at the end of last year, the great, you know, the Beatles parody band or pastiche band, because they took like different Beatles songs and made them sound new even though they were heavily influenced. So this score is Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell and Pippin and all that.
Is it hard 10 years later as creators to go back and dust something off that you guys thought maybe you'd never do again?
Well, I'm not nostalgic at all. TJ's a little bit more nostalgic.
I saved every interview. We were on MSNBC in 09. I'm like, we've made it. We're on with Chris Matthews. How can my career get any better?
On the day he retired.
To me, it was like discovering it. Like, that's a really good joke. Oh, hell, I wrote that. We were laughing. I don't remember this at all. This is awesome.
We got a conference room at Second City 2 weeks ago to rewatch the DVD of opening night. There were many revisions made between opening night and when the show finally closed a year later. But it was, we were both, this sounds egotistical, I'm sorry, but we were both impressed with how well a lot of it, most of it held up. It felt still fresh.
Well, it's hard in those because you're creating a show in the moment for the zeitgeist of the moment, and that's all that matters. You're not thinking about it because I can go back and watch a lot of stuff when you're doing a topical joke. It's for that moment. It's not designed to withstand time. It's for that moment.
It's like we're no way thinking this has got to be an evergreen.
Right.
hence my Kosuke Fukudome joke in the biggest song of the show that I'm leaving in. I tried rewriting it 20 times last week, and I said, I'm leaving it in. It's a period joke. The three people who remember Fukudome are going to love it.
Well, that's a good question for this show. I mean, there is, everyone knows it was done 10 years ago. It's a fundraiser for this. I mean, are there some jokes like the Fukudome joke that you're like, that's just so great, because you know it automatically smells like 2010.
Right.
There's a couple, and we are kind of bookending it with contemporary stuff to get some new in the moment things in there. I think I'm not going to give too much away, but I think we hit the headline that a lot of other people miss with this, with Trump pardoning Blagojevich, is spoiled child spares the rod.
The thesis of the new editions, yes.
Right. Well, the show is, of course, called Rob Blagojevich Superstar, and it had a great long run at Second City back 10 years ago. And it's coming back for one night only on April 2nd. It's a special performance. It's a fundraiser for the Second City Alumni Fund and Gilda's Club Chicago. And like I said, it's going to be on April 2nd. You can get tickets through secondcity.com. I'm assuming that's where you get
tickets on the website. Yes, it's fundraisers. So they're a little pricey. But you know, it's good causes, Gilda's Club.
This is a very sophisticated, very affluent audience that you guys are talking to.
Great, all right, great. Right. Oh, and the Second City Alumni Fund.
They can afford any
great.
Ticket.
Great, good. Yeah, that's another good one. For those who don't, the Second City Alumni Fund used to be just a small fishbowl full of hundos we hid backstage.
But we've since, many of them counterfeit.
We've since legitimized it and helped a lot of people. Because for every
that's the bit.
Every Second City alumni you heard of, there's 10 you haven't. And
there are two great causes. Eddie and I have both been doing work with Gilda's Club for years. And we've both been with Second City for years. So to actually get to do the show, not just to do it, but to benefit organizations that are near and dear to our heart, it does make it feel extra worth the contribution of writing new material. And there is new material. I want to make very clear, there's new material. We've updated some, but we have a prologue, an epilogue, a new song. So if you've seen it before, you'll see new stuff.
Well, the cliffhanger
new
before.
New performers, too.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I want to talk about the performers, too. But a cliffhanger, we're going to go to the break.
Okay.
And, I mean, the big question has to be, do you have to change the wig? Don't answer the question right now.
Okay.
Don't answer the question. We'll take a break. TJ Shanoff, Ed Furman here. We're talking about Rob Blagojevich Superstar, which have a one-night show, one night only, April 2nd at Second City, which is a fundraiser for the Alumni Fund and Gilda's Club Chicago. We'll take a break. Stay with us. 720 WGN, Justin Kaufman with you here till 11 o'clock tonight, 312-981-7200. Ed Furman and TJ Shanoff are here. Rob Blagojevich Superstar is the show they wrote 10 years ago, the musical pastiche, not a parody.
Right.
It's coming back for one night only. It's a fundraiser for the Second City Alumni Fund and Gilda's Club of Chicago. It's going to be on April 2nd. You can get tickets. You also have a special guest. Andy Borowitz is going to be there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where does he come in? Because he's a huge star, obviously, from the news. But where do you get him to come be a part of this?
Beth called him and he said yes. Is that how it happened?
Is that kind of how it happened? Beth Fugerman just called him and he said yes.
Beth Fugerman called him.
What's he going to be doing?
He's emceeing. I think he's going to do a bit of a preamble.
Yep.
We don't really know. We're going to find out ourselves.
That's the thing about Borowitz. You never know. He just shows up and bang, Borowitz is on.
He has really sold it.
He's great. He's a legitimately preeminent satirist right now. So to have him accompanying the satirical show feels part and parcel.
Yeah, right,
and very
right.
good.
What about his take on all this would be really something special.
What about Blago? I mean, are you guys going to put the invite out to him?
We did. We sent one of the cameo invites. Yeah, I don't think he's responded yet, but we offered $100 to film something.
I'm sure he'll do something. $100
Well, he's got to have some affinity for remembering, because I remember the news coverage of him coming to your show. And I mean, it's all part of the huge circus that was that trial. And even him being there at a show that satirized him and everything in between, it was just hilarious to watch how real world and comedy collided.
Our director of the show, and we should mention Matt Hovde's name because he is responsible for making the show as great as it was, as Eddie and I were, in my estimation. Matt was so unnerved, and he's such a quirky dude. He showed up to the Blago rehearsal in the veneer and character and dress of a German director and didn't drop character.
It was Austrian.
It was Austrian. We were corrected. Yes. Right? He didn't drop character on the... I pulled him aside and went, come on, dude. And he responded in like... He committed to this bit because he was that was his way to say I'm weirded out by directing Blago in the show called Blago. It was amazing.
The cast was great. Is all the cast members coming back for this and new cast members? What are you doing?
Most of them are coming back, which is fantastic. We got Joey Bland playing the lead.
Yeah, he played Rod, right?
Yeah, Lori McLean coming back to play Patty, and Lauren Dowden is playing a couple roles. Randall Haar, who was our the first understudies, took over for Mike Brandich.
All stars, all of them. Yeah. And the lead singer, J.C. Brooks, in the Uptown Sound. J.C. Brooks is going to be there as well.
Yeah.
In a role that was created, great lineage here, Sam Richardson, who, of course, has been on Veep and had that great show.
Detroiters
with Tim Robinson. Yeah, Detroiters, of course. And John Hildreth, who is a Second City alum, who's a brilliant actor as well, both played the role of Burris. And Jason Brooks of J.C. Brooks in the Uptown Sound will be playing Burris, which...
Burris.
Oh, my gosh. I almost called him Henry Burris. I remembered. I think that's a failed Bears quarterback. It's Roland. Thank you for saying the name Roland.
Failed quarterback, failed Harper. Senator. It's all the same.
It kind of fits in. But to have him singing those parts, and Sam and John killed it, but to have a professional singer, I can't wait to hear him attack the music. Lisa McQueen MDing, too.
I mean, it tells out the weight of the story that was the Blagojevich trial, because a lot of times, Second City would just incorporate that material into their main stage act or their ETC act at the time, whatever it is. I mean, they obviously, that company's main stage fare is usually a lot of politics and local as well. So it says a lot about how big this trial was at the time that even Second City, you guys are doing a sideshow that was as popular as what was on stage.
I think a lot of it was a timing in the fact that neither of the stages were in rehearsal at the time, and it was like, and Kelly's like, we gotta jump on
Kelly
this.
Leonard,
we gotta strike quick. How quickly can you get it up? And we got it up in a couple of weeks, basically.
Yeah, I wrote all the music and lyrics on a cruise ship I was directing when Second City was on Norwegian Cruise Line, and I wrote the book in
10 hours.
In a day. I mean...
I spread over
what
two
does that
days.
Mean?
I don't like
what
to
does that mean?
Overtime.
You guys are idiot savants when it comes to doing this kind of work, or was it just easy material?
It was easy. We met beforehand and we plotted out exactly what we wanted, what happens in the scene, how does the song forward it. So we were prepared going into it, and then we just jumped on it and attacked.
And we've been working together so long in different ways that if Eddie writes a scene and it says song here or song inspired by this, I know what he wants. So we kind of write, even when we're not eyeball to eyeball, we write in tandem nicely.
Yeah.
The idea of doing political satire like this, and regardless of Blagojevich, what makes it a great political satire? What is it about the work that you do, the music, and working together that this story specifically, the one about Blagojevich, makes it a good piece to work with?
I think it's just that it's you know, we hold the funhouse mirror up to the situation in a way that shows like the ridiculousness. And I don't know, the line that comes to mind is from Blagojevich, like early on in his career, like, hey, I just want power and a way to make some fast money under the table. I'm not sure Chicago politics is right for me. it's just kind of the camp saying like say it like it is, and the honesty just put in a camp situation. Mm. Like, look how crazy this is.
Yeah, and heightening absurdity is one of the most fun things to heighten, because you have such a gift with the initial absurdity that how do you top absurdity?
Yeah.
You heighten it to a degree that still feels truthful because the absurdity is truthful.
And that's tricky. I mean, that's tricky just because, and like we've seen in the last couple of years, it's been harder than people probably, a satirist probably imagined, to satirize Trump. Because the absurdity of it is a lot of people are like, if you go any further, he goes there too. And there is a trick to making sure that you're able to continue to go to that heightened, to that moment, to get people's recognizing that it's satire, especially when you have a guy like Trump or Blagojevich who just do it themselves.
Well, Blagojevich, nobody was getting hurt.
Right. That's
nobody was dying in a cage. Nobody was, you know, getting their rights taken away. So it was about him being greedy and wanting money. So that's something you could kind of make fun of.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. It's that mean absurdity is different from just abject absurdity. Mean and cruel absurdity is not particularly fun to heighten or satirize.
Right, right.
It took Mel Brooks 15 years to find a way to satirize Hitler after the end of the war. I mean, comedy's changed, times have changed, but is there a way to satirize? They've tried the cartoon president. They've tried a bunch of things that are all funny in their own ways. But I don't know if people said at the beginning of Trump, oh, you should write a musical about this guy. I have no interest. Eddie and I wrote a show about Rush Limbaugh that scarred me. I've never been in better shape because I'd listen to Rush and watch Hannity every night and on the treadmill, and I lost 20 pounds. I'm not kidding.
I got a high blood pressure.
Right. So I
should have exercised. I just sat and stewed.
It's a different kind of exercise, yeah. Right?
The current political climate renders Blago somewhat more innocuous. I'm not some Blagojevich apologist, but compared to his misdeeds and the attempted misdeeds, it almost feels homespun in 2020.
Do you guys have to deal with or approach in this piece the fact that the pardon, the idea that the kind of the strange bedfellows, the idea of Trump and Blagojevich, is that something you have to kind of get into? If
sure, you're, yeah. Yeah, and we do that with the brief prologue and epilogue, and it's something that you can't not address if you're going to remount it, because this is otherwise it's like you're just bringing it back. This kind of contemporizes it, and that's one of the small things we could have fun with, actually.
And it's not super obvious. We try to avoid some of the obvious tropes and go for ways to use it as a metaphor.
That's got to be the hardest, right?
But most fun, too.
Yeah, because with Blagojevich specifically, there's a lot of obvious in there. I mean, that's the thing where automatically, when he's up in this press conference and any forum, you automatically, I don't know what it is, but you just kind of shut off because you kind of know where he's going and what he's going to do.
But do you? Do you? I don't know what he's going to do up there. You never see him say a poem. He got kind of Jesus-y
Jesus-y, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what wild card is he going to pull out of his pocket?
Do you guys, I mean, I was going to say, do you think about kind of going in that direction where you talk about how he's changed in prison? Like, do you have to think about that it's been 8 or 9 years since he has seen the limelight?
Yeah.
He obviously has changed a little bit, maybe or maybe not.
He's more bleedy now.
Yeah. He's gotten the blood thinners,
hey,
you know.
Come on, dude.
You get good medical care in prison, so he's got those blood thinners. Yeah, we touch on that. You know, we don't try to get into his soul or anything, but we make it entertaining, and we address the fact that, you know, a person who comes out is not the person who comes in.
And I also don't want to be a hypocrite. You know this, Justin. I'm a native Illinoisan. I'm a native Chicagoan. I thought the punishment didn't fit the crime. I believe that Rob Blagojevich got a raw deal. And the tricky thing is his sentence being commuted in some respects feels kind of okay. And then given the way it happened is just awful.
Right.
It's this kind of constant dichotomy. Well, I'm happy he's back with his family. Oh, this is how it happened. And oh God, he's learned nothing. It's just this. It's insane.
Yeah. The show is going to be on stage April 2nd at Second City. Rob Blagojevich Superstar. One night only, a special performance fundraiser, the Second City Alumni Fund and Gildas Club Chicago. It's a fundraiser for them. In studio, Eddie Furman.
By the way, if you'd like to see a little run of it, let me give you Andrew Alexander's home number.
I guess
I get.
Would you guys want to do another
website,
run?
Is on that the bottom, bottom of the website, send us an email.
Would you do that? Would you put it back up instead of just a one night thing?
I'd like to.
I'd love to.
People could my friends could afford to go see it again.
Well, and I also believe it's still relevant, especially, you know, the beauty of a live stage show and a book show that's got some donut holes. We can update this thing as often as we need to.
Right.
With a nimble, we did in the first run of this thing. So yeah, I think the show, even though it's got a dated title, still has legs for 2020.
Well, it's amazing to me because it still stands up as one of the more notable shows in the last 10, 20 years, not just coming out of Second City, but all of Chicago, because it got so much press and it was such a big deal at the time. Rod Blagojevich, Superstar, returns to Second City one night only on April 2nd, 2020. You can get the tickets at secondcity.com. TJ Shanoff, Eddie Furman, great to see you guys, man.
Good seeing you.
Justin, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'd love to have you guys back. These guys are great. And we'll take a break and we'll come back and continue the show. So stay with us.